Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting on the opposite side of this here table, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
For those about to rock, we salute you.
I know I'm all amped up for this conversation.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about AC and DC electrical currents and what they mean and why do we have them and who are you? Oh, no, the third one we're going to skip.
No, and who are you is a different band entirely.
Yeah. Oh, CSI. So anyway, AC, DC. So we're talking about direct current, that would be DC, and alternating current, that's AC. That's the two main forms of electricity that we're familiar with. And they have a pretty long history that includes one of the most famous rivalries in technology. And we've talked about it before, and we're going to talk about it again.
Yeah, as we speak, I currently have a picture of Nikola Tesla staring at the side of my head. He's on the wall here.
He wants to make sure you get this right.
Yeah. We also have Edison somewhere in this room.
Actually, he's further back in the other part of the studio. But yes, Edison is also here. So Edison and Tesla are the two names of the inventors who were kind of the face behind these two technologies. Edison, of course, was a direct current guy.
Yeah.
And Tesla was all about the alternating current. And they both argued that their approach was the best. And it kind of makes sense that Edison did it because there was a lot of money at stake.
Well, and to some degree, both of them were right. And both of them were wrong. It sort of depends on the application.
It all depends on the application. Yeah. And the source of power that you're using.
Yes.
So,
should we talk about the actual power?
Before we do that, I just wanted to make one other mention.
Okay.
So those were the men, right? You had Edison and Tesla. Those were the two men who were really at the forefront of this fight.
Well, there was one other.
Yeah.
George Westinghouse.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say, is that behind these men were companies. You had Westinghouse, who wasn't really a company, but, you know, we now know of Westinghouse as a company, but we had Westinghouse on one side and General Electric on the other.
Yeah.
And Westinghouse was backing Tesla, and General Electric, of course, was Edison's company. He was backing Edison.
Yeah. So should we start with the actual current and what it does and stuff like that, and then we could talk about the people?
Let's talk about direct current first, because that's the easiest.
Okay.
So we know – we've talked about circuits and we've talked about batteries. That's an easy way to understand direct current. With direct current, you've got – you have a negative pole and you have a positive pole on whatever your power source is.
Yeah.
So let's say it's a battery. You've got your negative end and your positive end. The negative end, that's where all the electrons are. Electrons have a negative charge.
Yep.
The positive end, there is an absence of electrons. Now, electrons, you know, like charges repel each other.
Uh-huh.
And opposite charges attract each other.
Yes.
So those electrons really want to get to that positive end because they do not like being all crammed up together.
No.
So when you put a power source into a circuit, that circuit is really a pathway. It's a pathway from the negative end to the positive end. And the electrons say, yippee, we can go to the positive end. And they just run as fast as they can, except they don't really run because electrons don't have legs. But they go as fast as they can through the pathway. And let's say that you decide, you know what? While these guys are running really fast, I'd like them to do a little work. I want them to light a light bulb. So I'm going to put a light bulb right here in the middle of the pathway that they have to go through before they can get to the other side. Well, the electrons say, don't care. Just want to get to the positive end. Whee! And they run through that pathway. They run through the light bulb. They light up the light bulb, and they keep on going until they hit the positive end.
Right.
That's direct current. It's all moving in one direction.
You know, they play that little song, too, before they, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Charge.
Charge.
And then they have to pay royalties to that guy who's suing.
The bugle?
Yeah. You haven't heard about that?
No.
That's a different discussion. We'll leave it off for this.
Okay. But
anyway, so yeah, that's
– excuse me.
That's direct current. It's a very simple way of delivering electricity. However, simple does not always mean good, because simple also means that you are limited. And so now I guess we should talk about what alternating current is, and then we can talk about why there was this rivalry between direct and alternating current.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Edison believed that direct current was the best application of electricity to bring power to people's homes. And so all his stuff used this technology, but Tesla saw a different way to do this, and he decided that alternating current would work better. Now, alternating current, it's sort of weird because to think about, because when you learn about basic circuits, in, for example, shop class or something like that, where you're creating a simple circuit, say you've got your battery and your light bulb and a switch, and you hook everything up and you flip the switch and the light comes on, then you unflip the switch or flip it back the other way, and the light goes off. You're like, okay, yep. I got it. You know, exactly what Jonathan just said. It went from one end to the other. But alternating current it changes direction within the wires.
Yeah.
Every so often it goes, let's just oversimplify as we are apt or are prone to do on this show.
Yep.
Left to right and then from right to left. So that's a little bit more difficult to explain.
Yeah. It's essentially using magnets. Really. It's using magnets to, if you were to think of it in the sense of the battery, it'd be swapping the battery ends really, really rapidly. But it's doing this through magnets, not through batteries. And by moving this back and forth, you are changing the flow of electricity through those wires several times a second. I believe, let's see, in the United States, I believe that's 60 times a second. And in Europe, I think it's 50.
I believe that is correct.
Which is why you have to have various adapters when you move between the United States and Europe. And, you know, this sort of thing happens in other nations as well. Yes, I was correct. And we do have a article on the website about how electricity works that goes into alternating current and direct current. I do recommend you check that out because it'll have some helpful information. We also have information on other elements we'll be talking about shortly, like transformers. But we'll get into that in a second. So Yeah, and the alternating current, the current reverses 60 times per second in the U.S. or 50 times a second in Europe. And that's what you get out of the wall socket. And you might say, well, why would you want to have the alternating current moving back and forth like that? Well, on the face of it, if you were just saying direct current versus alternating current, and you're just looking at the way that they are providing power to whatever load you've put on the pathway, mm-hmm. like in my example, it was that light bulb. If that's all you're looking at, there's no real huge advantage of direct current over alternating current or vice versa. They both are providing power to the load you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It only gets down to when you are talking about generating power and delivering that power to another location. That's when you start looking at the advantages of alternating current over direct current. And that's that was the heart of the issue between Tesla and Edison. Edison had a lot of money invested in direct current, and he had a lot of patents that were directly involved with direct current.
Yep.
And he was drawing royalties from those patents.
Yes.
Because you had power stations that would be using direct current. They'd have to pay a fee to Edison. So it was within his financial interest to really promote direct current. And Edison was a master promoter. That was one of the things he was amazing at.
Mm-hmm.
Along with, you know, he was a brilliant inventor as well, but he was also a great marketer. Tesla, not as much, but Tesla felt that he was in the right. We get that argument a lot through the whole Tesla story.
Yeah, Tesla though liked to do demonstrations with electricity that showed him basically holding on to a source of electricity, and there were sparks and things, and it freaked a lot of people out. But
well,
at the
Edison
time,
had a particular demonstration we will have to talk about that really freaked people out too.
I'm hoping that we can keep that discussion to a minimum because that still turns my stomach. But anyway,
yeah.
So we should continue talking about the thing. So
delivering
power. So for Edison to use the direct current doesn't really travel well, or didn't back in the day. They have found ways to provide to help it travel long distances better now, but at the time you had to have local power stations, very local power stations,
like within a mile or two of wherever it was you were delivering power, and you had to deliver the same amount of power that your load was going to require. In other words, you can't change the voltage easily on a direct current system. And the reason why that's important is, let's say that you have a device, or you have some sort of electronic load that's going to require a certain number of volts. We'll say 100 volts. And that means that for a direct current generator, you would have to generate 100 volts. Actually, it'd be around 110, because you do lose some electricity. There's a leakage issue with direct current that gets worse over distance. So you would have to actually have a generator that created the same voltage as what you were going to consume. And if you had a lot of different demands on this electricity, like you had a lot of different things that use different voltage, then you would have to have a different generator for each kind. And that's not very efficient either. And because these two problems, the fact that you could not send power over really long distances and you couldn't change the voltage easily, there were some disadvantages to this. And the biggest one is probably the distance thing, because it meant that you had to build generators all over the place if you wanted to distribute electricity over a region.
Mm-hmm.
And this got problematic, particularly when you go out to rural areas, because are you going to build a generator for every couple of houses that are miles and miles and miles apart? I mean, that's not very cost effective for the people who live there. Mm-hmm. Why would they even adopt electricity if it meant essentially that they had to have their own generator?
Yeah.
Right. And so alternating current got around this. And I guess to really understand this, you kind of have to talk about current versus voltage. So
yeah, because voltage is really, and this is sort of weird to think about, it's a unit of electrical pressure.
Yeah.
Rather than current,
which is the number of electrons, really.
Right.
So you measure – we talk about current in terms of amps, and amps really refers to the number of electrons that are moving through that circuit. Voltage, like you said, is more like pressure. It's the amount of power you've put behind those electrons. So if you had high voltage, low amps, then you would have relatively few electrons moving with a lot of power. Mm-hmm. If you had low voltage, high amps, you have a lot of electrons moving at low power. And if high voltages travel further, it's because, you know, you've put a huge amount of energy into this current, and it's going to push the electrons further than it would with less leakage than it would if you had a low voltage.
See, now I'm thinking of a different song by the same band you quoted initially. High voltage.
So in other words, let's say that you've got, imagine you have a pipe in front of you, and it's you've got a bowling ball that'll fit inside this pipe.
So that's a pretty big diameter.
Right. Pipe. Doesn't matter. The reason why I'm saying is, like, let's say that you get a little kid to give that bowling ball a push. Well, that bowling ball's only going to go so far. And then let's say you get a guy in the World's Strongest Man competition to come along and give it a push as hard as he can. That ball's going to go much further. Well, with direct current, because the generator had to be the same voltage as whatever the actual receiving, appliance or load was going to be, you couldn't increase that voltage to make the current go further.
Okay.
Because if you did, then your loads wouldn't work anymore. They'd be overloaded because, you know, the voltage would be way too high. But alternating current, because those electrons change direction, they create something else that allows you to boost and then reduce the voltage along power lines. So the power that comes out of a power generator, the electricity that comes out of a generator plant, doesn't necessarily have to be the same voltage as what's actually traveling through the power lines on the power grid.
No, you need something to step up the voltage.
Which is the transformer.
Yes.
And they are indeed more than meets the eye.
Yes.
But they are not robots that change into other forms. A transformer is a way to change from one voltage to another. And it's actually, at its heart, a transformer is incredibly simple.
Yeah.
And it all has to do with the relationship between electricity and magnetism, which we have talked about
so many times.
Many times on this podcast. But in general, if you've forgotten,
if you're just tuning in.
Yeah. If you have current moving through a wire and that will generate a magnetic field, particularly if you're alternating that current, it creates an alternating magnetic field. All right. So the current's reversing back and forth through this line. That's creating this magnetic field that itself is changing over and over again.
Uh-huh.
So let's say you've got a coil of wire next to an alternating magnetic field, a magnetic field that's in flux. It's changing over and over again. Well, if the magnetic field is changing and the coil of wire is close enough, that's going to induce electrons to flow through the wire.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So using this, we can make alternating current and create a transformer. You have one coil of wire that's your primary coil. You're running electricity through this coil, and it's in alternating current. So it's going back and forth, reversing direction through this coil. You put a secondary coil near the primary coil.
Right.
The magnetic field generated by the primary coil will induce electricity in the secondary coil. And here's the really cool thing. The number of coils in the primary coil versus the number of coils in the secondary coil will determine how the voltage changes.
Excellent.
So
that's very simple.
Yeah. Let's say that you have one coil in your primary coil. So you just do one turn and that's it. And you have 10 coils in your secondary coil.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of voltage in the secondary coil that's generated from that magnetic flux will be 10 times as strong as the primary coil. So you have stepped up the voltage. So what you do is at your power generation plant, you have a primary coil that is a certain number of coils, and your secondary coil has way more coils. And the ratio there will determine how much the voltage changes. You then transmit that electricity through wires to wherever, you know, to a residential neighborhood, let's say.
Right.
Well, as the electricity travels there, once it hits the the power lines, the power poles that have the connection to your house, there's a transformer on those essentially they're telephone poles is what we think of them as, right? They have transformers too. Now, in that case, their primary coils have more coils than the secondary coils. So the voltage is stepped down. And that means that even though the voltage in the power line that's coming down the street is really, really high, way higher than what you need in your house. In fact, so high that it's, you know, incredibly deadly. Once it goes through that transformer and goes to your house, it's going to be at the right voltage for your home.
Yes.
And we usually, in the United States, that would be 120 volts. Because remember, we talked about it reversing 60 times a second. Well, you have to add the two 60s, right? The 60 positives and the 60 negatives, for lack of a better term. Add those together, and it's not like 60 plus negative 60. It's 60 plus 60, and it's 120 volts.
And that solves the problem that you were talking about earlier with the need for the generating portion to match exactly the load at the other end.
Right. And it solves the problem of the distance issue too, because you have upped the voltage so high that it's going to transmit over a much greater distance than direct current will. And so, you've just solved that issue of how do you deliver electricity in an efficient way so you don't have to build generators every couple of miles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, Tesla and Westinghouse thought this was a brilliant idea. Edison, of course, did not like it because it was a competing standard to his own, and it was going to mean that he was going to be out some serious dough. So there became a kind of a series of one-upmanship demonstrations across, well, mostly the Northeast, but it was an attempt to try and have one standard come out, the supreme leader in electricity.
Yeah, we've talked about these things not in the not terribly distant past at this point when we're recording this. And I believe I revealed at one point that I had read the book Empires of Light by Jill Jonas. And I'm probably still mispronouncing her last name, which is about this, about the current wars. And, it paints a really unflattering picture of Edison, really, when you learn a lot more about it. Now, Tesla was sort of a
eccentric.
He was an eccentric. He also kind of liked to live the high life.
Yes.
He liked expensive stuff.
An eccentric dandy who got progressively crazier as he got older.
I wouldn't say crazy.
No, I would.
He might still be alive in some capacity. Now I'm the crazy one.
So, yes, my co-host is joining Tesla.
Yeah. No, it's fun to make those jokes. No, he wasn't really in the business of – he liked to invent stuff. And he actually at one point worked for Edison.
Yeah.
They didn't always see eye to eye before all this happened. I think Tesla sort of felt like – based on what I've read, Tesla sort of felt like he was underappreciated and wanted to strike out on his own. And this was one of the thing, one of the many, many things. Of course, we talked about radio and how he worked on that. He got involved with a lot of different kinds of things.
And I've also read that in general, and this may be an overgeneralization.
Yeah.
But in general, that Edison took a very experimental approach to learning things.
Like
he was all about doing something. And if that worked, then that's great.
Yeah.
Solve that problem. Whereas Tesla was more about understanding and thinking things through and then designing stuff that builds on that knowledge.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's two different approaches, and I've even seen it referred to as Edison's approach being more of a brute force approach. Like, you know, you try something, and if it doesn't work, well, that's too bad. You go on and you do something else.
Right.
And whereas Tesla was more of an architect, someone who would think things through before actually committing to action.
Mm-hmm.
Although one would argue, based upon some of Tesla's later works, that was not always true.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the one-upsmanship, battles between these two.
Yeah, well, Edison was really did a lot of his own promotion.
Yes.
And Tesla did a lot of his own personal promotion.
Yes.
So they were really kind of different people. I mean, Edison was really working on his company and building that up. And Tesla licensed his patents to George Westinghouse's company. Mm-hmm. Westinghouse, he would also be sort of an interesting person to talk about on his own show if we ever get around to that. But he invented a railroad brake that was very, very popular. He made a lot of money doing this. And he saw a way to – he started getting into the electric game too. He saw himself as a somebody who could actually take on Edison and some of the others who were involved in this. They weren't the only two. Because this was, you know, it's like a lot of stuff, like computers and so many other things, the internet, phones. You know, at that point, when Edison and Tesla were really doing this, they were all, there were many, many inventors working on solutions to these problems. How are you going to wire up homes, building the infrastructure and that kind of stuff? So Westinghouse licensed Tesla's patents and began building equipment. They began competing for different projects, such as the Columbian Exhibition in Chicago, yeah, which was the World's Fair.
Yes, yes.
And who was going to light the World's Fair? Because they really wanted to do this thing right. They wanted light bulbs everywhere because really, I mean, there were very few people who had their homes wired for light. This was going to be really cool. And there were – when they succeeded in doing so – that was a huge, huge thing because people wanted to see it at night when everything was lit up with electric power.
Yeah, that was in 1893. Mm-hmm. So while they are arguing over who gets to light up the World's Fair, Dr. H.H. Holmes is creating his reign of terror as one of America's first serial killers.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. Stuff You Should Know did a show about him.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a fantastic book called The Devil in the White City that is the story both about H.H. Holmes and his activities and the preparation and execution of the World's Fair. Mm-hmm. And frankly, the World's Fair sections in that book were, to me, 10 times more interesting than the story about the one of America's first serial killers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a – but it's because you had these incredible personalities that were all mixing, mm-hmm, to make the World's Fair. And Tesla and Edison were two of them. And ultimately, Tesla won.
Yeah. And that was a bitter fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Edison, you know, he was not above some pretty outrageous – displays to try and win people over to his side. One of his arguments was that because alternating current had these transformers and because alternating current would transform a low voltage into an incredibly high voltage flow of electricity, he argued that alternating current was inherently dangerous.
And direct current was safe, safer.
Exactly. So he would demonstrate this, and this is absolutely horrifying to anyone who's an animal lover, by holding a public hearing and then using alternating current to electrocute, as in to kill animals with electricity. The probably the most famous example of which was an elephant named Topsy.
Yeah, Harold Brown, sort of a bit player in this whole drama, was a guy that, from what I can tell, in Empires of Light, sort of came out of nowhere. He wasn't really an employee of the Edison company, but he was also of the belief that alternating current was extremely dangerous. And Edison saw a way to promote the idea that alternating current was dangerous and direct current was safer. By using Brown's experiments, and he, you know, basically experimented on animals and showing that the amount of current, of alternating current, it would take to kill somebody was considerably less than the amount of direct current it would take to kill somebody. And they did experiments on animals, both in, if I'm not mistaken, in private and in public. The public demonstrations, you know, they electrocuted dogs and other animals, including Topsy the elephant.
Yep.
And then they decided to promote a new way of dispensing justice.
Yes.
They built the electric chair.
Yeah.
Look how dangerous alternating current is. They can use it to put criminals to death.
Yeah.
And they promoted this as a way to, you know, for one thing, they were theoretically providing a public service, right? You know, it's a new way to execute convicted criminals.
Yeah.
But Also, it promoted their ends by saying, look how dangerous alternating current is.
So we should all invest in direct current.
Yes.
Ultimately, that argument did not win. And so alternating current, because it just made more sense financially as far as a way of distributing electricity across wide areas, that's what won out. I mean, it makes sense in that use case, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like direct current went away. It's not like we don't use direct current in lots of different things right now.
Yep. And in fact, depending on the device, you may be using both.
Yeah.
You know, they're some of the adapters that you plug in for portable electronics have a DC output, even though they're taking their, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You're taking alternating current from the wall, mm-hmm. and then the converter converts it from alternating current to direct current before it delivers the electricity to whatever device you're using.
Yes.
Yeah, there are plenty of examples of that. And of course, if you have anything with a battery in it, well, that's, you know, a battery, like we said in the very first example, that's direct current. Unless you are having some weird way of swapping the battery's poles over and over again, which I can't imagine you doing that. Then
you'd have to do it awful quick.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a direct current.
Yeah.
So we still use both, and there are a lot of reasons why you would want to use direct current, for, especially for anything that's like, you know, not connected to a power source, or not a power source, but a power plant.
Mm-hmm.
We still use direct current in plenty of applications, but when it comes to delivering electricity across huge distances, alternating current's the way to go. It makes perfect sense.
Right.
By the way, have you ever seen a transformer blow?
No, but I've heard them.
I've seen it a few times. It is a pretty spectacular and incredibly startling thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Every once in a while, you'll hear one, blow out in your neighborhood. Or actually, there was one here in the Atlanta area just yesterday that started a brush fire when it exploded.
Yeah. You usually see a lot of sparks, and there's normally a very loud bang. Actually, there's always going to be a really loud bang. And it's I remember the first time it happened, I thought someone fired a shotgun mm-hmm. off next to the car I was in, because it was we were going down downtown Atlanta in a thunderstorm, and a power surge caused the transformer to overload, and it blew out the transformer.
Mm.
And transformers are a little more complicated than just two coils of wire. That's just the basic. That's the core of a transformer.
Yeah, we wanted you to understand the concept.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. I mean,
you can, there's plenty of reading to be done, believe me, on these things.
Yeah, check out our articles on electricity and transformers. They are very helpful. There are a lot of really cool illustrations, and I think you'll find it interesting. It definitely helped me understand a little better about the subject before we came in here today.
Yeah, yeah. And although we were joking about the toy/movie Transformers, we have articles about that too.
Yes.
So if
you want to read about Optimus Prime,
yeah,
we've got you covered.
And real Transformers, or sort of.
Actually, I think the one that's about the robots is called What Are Real Transformers?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, check them out. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And let us know if you guys want us to talk about any particular subjects. We've been getting a lot of really good suggestions from Facebook, from Twitter, from email. Keep them coming, because it makes our jobs much easier when we know what our listeners want to hear. And, we try not to concentrate on any one particular type of subject for too long, other than technology. We seem to be stuck on that for some reason. So let us know. You can let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW. Or you can send us an email, and that address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.